Episode 126 of Futures Radio Show, sponsored by CME Group, the world's leading and most diverse futures and options exchange. CME Group's markets help individuals and businesses around the world manage risk and seize opportunities. Learn more at futuresfundamentals.com.
Every day, traders and investors dive in to tackle the ever-changing markets to find opportunity. Futures Radio Show is your number one source for answers to the questions that all market participants want to ask. Veteran futures trader Anthony Crudelli sits down with the most influential leaders and top traders in the industry. Now, here's your host, Anthony Crudelli.
Hey everyone, before we get started today, I want to thank our sponsors, CME Group and Trading Technologies. Today I spoke to a man who began his career in the financial markets in New Zealand, moved to the US, and got involved in the futures markets, and he never looked back. His name is Matt Osborne and is the co-founder and CIO of Altegris Advisors. Matt and I talked about the evolution of managed futures. We discussed the benefits and the risks with managed futures, and he told us why he believes investors should have them in their portfolio. Finally, we touched on what it takes for traders to become managed futures advisors, and we chatted about the current trading environment in the markets. Matt is a great guy who has spent a lot of years in the managed futures space, so it was great to get his insight on how things work and why investors should be taking a serious look at them. Thank you all for listening. And please enjoy this episode. Matt, welcome to the show.
Hey, Anthony.
It's great to speak with you today, Matt. Now, we've got a lot of great topics to talk about today. I love talking to people in the managed futures space, so I have some really good questions and topics to talk with you about. But before we begin, I would like our audience to learn a little bit more about you. Can you tell us how you got your start in the industry and eventually became the co-founder and CIO at Altegris Advisors?
Thanks, Anthony. Yeah, I've been in the business, gosh, 20 years now, 1997. I got my start in the investment management industry prior to that. I'm originally from New Zealand. I work in a New Zealand-based family office, and I had a fabulous learning curve in the alternative investment space where I got to interview and hire on behalf of the family great investment managers like Paul Tudor Jones, Bruce Kovner, Michael Steinhardt, managers like that on behalf of the family. So I did that from the late 80s through the mid-90s, came to the U.S., and I've been in the managed futures space here in California ever since.
Awesome. So talk to me a little bit about your time in New Zealand. I'm always fascinated by that country. It's a country I've never been to. I really want to visit. And I'm just kind of curious how you decided to get into the financial industry out there in New Zealand.
At a pretty young age, I was the group treasurer for the company. And the family made a decision in the late 1980s to sell the company. So it was a big liquidity event for them. And they retained me and one other guy to run what's now known as a family office on their behalf. So I sort of jumped across from one side of the balance sheet to the other and became an investor beginning in 1988.
Oh, that's fascinating to me. And talk to me a little bit about how you decided to start getting involved in futures.
Yeah, I joined, I came to the U.S. and I joined a firm that was being run by my old colleague, a guy by the name of John Sunt, S-U-N-D-T, is pretty well known in the industry. And he was running a futures division for the old Man Group or Man Financial in the brokerage days. And I joined him here in La Jolla, California as his director of research. That was really my background, researching managers, trying to sift through which managers are hot and which are not. And I brought that talent set to John's division at Man, and we built a pretty good business.
Yeah, that's awesome. Now, today I want to begin by talking about the evolution of the managed futures industry, because really, I always love these evolutions we talk about here on Futures Radio Show. We talk about from the pits to the screens to HFT trading, algo, quant, so on and so forth, now even AI. So on the managed futures side, it's pretty interesting to me. I mean, it's because it's becoming so much more popular with traders. I really think a lot of it is because we're seeing so much growth from the retail traders, wanting to learn more about futures. I see a lot of you know, some of the big firms out there doing a lot more in education, CME Group as well, you know, helping educate traders on futures. So I think that that's helping people want to get involved with futures. Now, whether if they can't trade them or not, then they go to the managed future side. So you've been in this space, like you said, for over 20 years. You started over there in New Zealand, came to the U.S., like you talked about with Man Financial, and now we are today in 2017. How have you seen the space evolve over the years?
Yeah, there's been a really substantial evolution, Anthony, and managed futures as an investment strategy really goes back more than three decades. And if you just sort of to level set for us, if we think about managed futures as being estimated to be about $250 billion today in terms of investor capital with managers in the managed futures space globally, approximately $250 billion. Now, in the old days, you know, going back decades, the strategy was primarily accessed. The only way you could get to it was essentially one of two ways, either via a hedge fund structure or as a separately managed account with a high minimum. And really what that effectively did was limit the strategy access to institutional or ultra high net worth investors or the likes of the old family office that I used to work for. So a major evolution has been now that there's a multitude of UCITS and US 40 Act mutual fund structures that allow access of retail investors. So number one has been this shift in how you can actually access the strategy. Along with that, and this won't surprise you, there's been a really significant shift in fee structures. You know, when the strategy was first being deployed back in the, in the 70s and 80s, it was undoubtedly a high-fee strategy. Fees like, you know, 4% management fees and 25% incentive fees, and then on top of that, $50 round-term commissions. Those sorts of numbers were normal. Today, it's been a radical shift. You see that in the mutual fund space, there's flat fee strategies of just 1% flat, and commissions, as you guys know, you know, commissions are a couple of bucks. So that's been a significant shift. You know, I would say that, you know, lastly, the mutual fund space, which you know, Altegris is particularly interested in. We have three managed futures mutual funds in the market. Mutual funds are now around $25 billion, or approximately 10% of the overall managed futures space. And we think that can continue to grow because more and more, to your point, more and more retail financial advisors are getting the education they need about how a managed futures strategy can benefit their client portfolios. So as that education filters through the financial advisor community, they're continuing to demand access, and they're doing so on behalf of retail investors. We think the mutual fund vehicle can continue to claim market share as we go forward.
Yeah, a lot of reasons to see growth in this space, definitely. Now, let's talk about some of the reasons why you believe investors should have futures in their portfolio.
Yeah, look, you know, a managed futures strategy, most people think of it as a momentum or trend following strategy. That really describes about 70% of the universe. The other 30% are in more specialized type strategies. But, you know, the main benefit of a managed futures investment in a client portfolio is simply the long-term low correlation, essentially the zero with stocks and about, you know, 0.2 with the bond market. So it's that low correlation coupled with the fact that if you look at a 30-year performance index like the Barclay Hedge B Top 50 Index, which is a well-known index, Anthony, you know, it's compounded at about 7.5% per annum over the last 30 years. So you put those two things together, the low correlation and that positive return stream, you know, over time, and you get this really positive impact on client portfolios. If you add, you know, based on that historical data, if you add managed futures to a 60-40 portfolio of stocks and bonds that, you know, is very common for a retail investor, or most, you know, a lot of investors, you'll see that the managed futures addition has the benefit of reducing overall portfolio volatility and increases your, you know, your return per unit of risk, or, you know, often referred to as the Sharpe ratio. Finally, and this is a really important one, and this is where managed futures gets quite a lot of attention from the investment community and retail investors and their advisors, is that Managed Futures has a history of providing what's become known as quote-unquote crisis alpha, or periods of pretty strong positive performance when everything else was melting down around us. So, you know, the best known example is really the 2008 crisis, where if you look at the Managed Futures Index, it was up around, you know, different indices, right, but up around 15 to 20% depending on the index. But there's been multitude of other periods in the past, Anthony, the tech wreck in 2001, the Q3 of 2001 that unfortunately coincided with the 9/11 attacks, the European debt crisis as recently as 2011, all the way back to the Asian debt crisis in 1998, and if you want to go all the way back, you go back to the stock crash of 1987. You know, Managed Futures did well in those periods and has really developed a reputation for providing that crisis alpha.
You know, so we've talked about some benefits. We've talked about some reasons why you believe investors should have futures in their portfolio. But what are the factors that are driving people to want to get into Managed Futures?
Look, you know, as we just talked about, that diversification benefit that clients can experience in a portfolio is really powerful. The mathematics are pretty powerful when you look at when you add an uncorrelated return stream into a portfolio. Of course, that uncorrelated return stream has to be positive. You know, the strategy has to make money over time. So as advisors get educated about that and they consider the risks that they have in their more traditional portfolios, that's driving the demand. And if you look at those risks, there's quite a few, especially in today's environment. I think the big driver right now is in two facets, really. Central bank policy divergence. That's a big sentence, but really we're really talking about the fact that, you know, the U.S. Federal Reserve is increasing interest rates. The Bank of Japan and the European Central Bank continue to be on hold. In our future, we've got the Fed not only increasing interest rates, but figuring out how to normalize their balance sheet. And this is that development of central bank policy divergence is really in stark contrast, Anthony, to the post-crisis environment where all of the central banks really following a zero interest rate policy that had created an environment where there's little differentiation between the three big global economies in terms of interest rate movement and currency movement, and therefore sort of little opportunity for really significant trends to develop. And trends are, of course, the lifeblood of managed futures success. So point number one, central bank policy divergence. And point number two, and we're starting to see this, is an ongoing shift towards an environment potentially that we could describe as fiscal policy coming back to play. And, you know, the fact that we've seen this rise in populism that started with Brexit and then the election here at home of President Trump, and that shift towards the possibility of more fiscal policy dominance here at home, seen through tax reform, infrastructure spend, we actually have an opportunity for, you know, global economic growth, but also global economic differentiation between these key economies, which is, again, as I said, the lifeblood of trends. The risks that I refer to are numerous, of course. We've got, as the markets have anticipated, some of those positive developments here in the U.S., of course, we've got a highly valued stock market that potentially could correct. And I don't think the geopolitical risk out there is being fully priced. It seems like we've got a really low volatility environment right now as we speak, and there's lots of reasons why that volatility could increase, not least of which you could focus on North Korea, China. I mean, I know the European environment seems a little more settled now post the French election result, but there seems like there's plenty of opportunity for instability, and I think that as investors look at their portfolios and consider what do I have in my portfolio that could provide me an uncorrelated return in an environment that's different than the one we're experiencing today, you know, managed futures is become increasingly an option for that. The volatility environment, we would like to see it change. Managed futures does better, Anthony, when volatility is expanding as opposed to contracting. And, you know, as I said earlier, the central banks have done a tremendous job, frankly, in the post-crisis environment of averting another crisis. You know, there's been crisis containment. They've really done a good job of that. And traditional investments, such as, you know, a stock market allocation, have done tremendously well. But as volatility potentially increases and expands, that's positive for managed futures. And as I said, there's a lot of potential for risk on the horizon that can drive that volatility. Finally, I'll say one other point, and this is a more nuanced point, but I think people will get it. You know, when you invest in a managed futures investment, be it in a managed account or in a fund, you know, the manager uses typically only 10 or 20% to actually drive the strategy because of margin use. It typically only takes 10 or 20% margin to equity use on any given day to drive a managed futures strategy, which means that 80 or 90% of a fund's assets are sitting around typically in T-bills or some other collateral. Well, historically, of course, T-bills have earned, you know, anywhere but, you know, 3% on average over several decades, except in the post-crisis environment where it's been essentially zero. So a rising rate environment puts that collateral earnings back into the managed futures strategy, and I think that's going to be positive for returns as we go forward.
Oh, I love the reasons for people to get into futures, and you really laid it out really well, and it's great to hear, you know, these factors and reasons for people that aren't in futures right now to understand why they should possibly take a look at getting involved in managed futures. So look, I'm a glass full guy, Matt, half full guy, Matt. And we talked about the benefits. We talked about reasons. Obviously, I'm all pro futures. This is a futures radio show. I've been trading futures for many years. But let's talk about some of the risks. I mean, in my life, I've always looked at the worst case scenario first, and then I go from there. Because I know there's probably some people out there that are listening that are going, okay, all those factors are great. But what are the risks for investors in managed futures?
Yeah, and there's several. You know, it has been a tough period for performance in this post-crisis environment when volatility has sort of been contracted. It was a really good year in 2014, Anthony, where we had several trends all running at the same time. We had a stronger dollar, weaker oil prices, rising stocks in Europe, falling bond yields, you know, in other words, rising bond prices here at home and elsewhere. So when we get that confluence of trends like that, the strategy can really take off. And that was the case in 2014. But in the years around that, 2011, 2012, 2013, last year, 2016, it's been a pretty tough period. And there's been a lot of sideways or you know, small losses from managed futures managers. And one of the big risks is that, you know, perhaps there's too much money in the space. There's too much money, you know, chasing too few trades. I don't think that's a problem. If you look at the $250 billion of volume of investor assets in managed futures and compare it to the overall volume in futures markets, as you point out, volume continues to expand. And there's many, many, many non-speculative users of futures contracts that continue to make markets and provide liquidity and opportunity. So I don't think it's an overcrowded strategy, but that's a sort of a long-term risk that we keep an eye on. I think more in the short term, Anthony, a couple of things I've focused on is that recently, and as I said earlier, the lifeblood of a managed futures strategy trends. And if you think about what's been the biggest trend recently, certainly in the last year, is the up move in stocks. So many managers in the space are already long of equity indexes inside of diversified managed futures portfolios. So that's been a trend. So the long of equity indices, you know, and what that means for investors on a short-term basis is if you get a short, sharp, sudden correction, you're not going to see that immediate crisis alpha benefit. You're actually going to have managers potentially losing money when the stock market corrects on a short-term basis. Now, if a stock market correction evolves into a bear market, that'll allow most managers, trend following managers, depending upon their time frames, but you would expect most managers to flip from long positions to short positions as, you know, as we got going on the downside. But in the initial phase, you know, managers right now are typically long of stocks. The other risk that I have that's semi-related to that is, you know, over the 30 years, it's been a pretty long-term bull market in bonds. So bond prices have, you know, continually risen. Now, arguably, we've seen the end of the bond bull market. And what that means is if bond yields start to trend up, trend higher, you would expect managers to begin to get short. And if they're short of bonds, then they're sort of the opposite way around of that flight to quality effect that they've benefited from over the years. So, you know, the performance could be a little more volatile than perhaps we've seen historically. But, you know, as I said, balance sheets is one of the few strategies out there where you can actually benefit from rising interest rates by being short. And so it could be a risk or it could be a benefit, but it's worth pointing out.
Yeah. Now, I have a lot of friends out there that are listening to this show that are futures traders, and a lot of independent futures traders like myself started on the floor of CME, became a member, you know, what we call locals, a lot of individual traders out there. And my question to you, and this is, I'm really looking forward to this, to the answer to this question, because I think that so many of us out there are listening that have been trading for many years, wondering how maybe they can get into, you know, the managed future side. And let's face it, there's a large concentration of assets under management with the large managers. And it's really because, I think, because they have the big bucks to pay for technology, programmers, compliance. I mean, it's not really easy in the world we live in to get involved in this space. And really for any space as an entrepreneur these days, it's hard to just, you know, start that business. So my question to you is, how tough is it for new managers to get started and then ultimately to thrive?
Yeah, Anthony, you hit all the points. It's tough and it's getting tougher. You know, of course, you've got regulatory hurdles. You've got to be registered to trade other people's money. And that's the key, right? Other people's money is how you get, how you gain success in the space. That's how you earn management fees. Ideally, that's how you earn incentive fees, is by growing a business, you know, managing other people's money. You know, so how I've seen this evolve is that, you know, 20 years ago when I first started working, you know, for a division of Man Financial, you know, we later formed Altegris, but when I first started working, you know, we did a lot of managed account business, and there were a lot of investors around who were interested in doing managed account business and were generally supportive of emerging managers. Now, that's not to say that business is not still around. It's just increasingly rare. And the reason for that is that the advent of mutual funds and other ways to access the space are competing for investor dollars. So and then it's sort of, so it's become a bit bifurcated. There's the institutional market, and the institutions want to allocate to the biggest managers, and as you point out, those institutional investors will gravitate to the largest firms in order to meet those, what we call due diligence thresholds, right, that you point out. You know, those larger firms are also going to have the infrastructure through technology to be sub-advisors for UCITS or mutual funds. And it leaves the smaller managers to essentially scrap over the shrinking size of the allocations coming from a high net worth investors in family offices. So as this industry's become bifurcated in terms of where the allocations are coming from, the emerging managers finding it more difficult to access capital. Now, the other major factor is that it's been tough to make money, right? As we just talked about, it's been a low volatility environment. There's been fewer trends than we've seen in past decades. I think there's reasons for that to change. So this factor could change. But, you know, managed futures just simply hasn't done as well in the last 8 years or so as it had in the prior 2.5 decades. So for the emerging managers, it's just being tougher to establish a good track record. And frankly, track record is everything. So the emerging manager needs to have enough capital base, friends and family type support, to support himself for longer than perhaps in the past. In other words, you know, maybe you need to establish 3-4 years of consistent track record, which, you know, let's acknowledge that's really difficult to do. You've got to be a really good trader to be consistent, or you've got to have a really good quantitative edge. And it's just got increasingly difficult, Anthony, because the large firms, to your point, have been able to afford the technology. They're able to afford the best PhD talent who are coming in with the latest algorithms to design trading systems. You know, they're gravitating towards the biggest firms. So the little guy, the smaller manager, is just finding it difficult, A, to access the capital, and B, to develop some sort of, you know, performance edge that's going to be sustainable over a long period of time. Because, you know, look, it's becoming almost a quantitative arms race. And that's difficult for smaller managers that's a difficult space for small managers to compete in.
Great stuff today, Matt. And we're not done yet. I have some rapid fire questions for you. So if you're ready for those, I'll fire away.
Yeah, sure. Let's go.
All right, everyone. Our rapid fire segment is sponsored by Trading Technologies. Trade the global markets from virtually anywhere with TT, the world's fastest commercially available futures trading platform. Create your account and try it now free at tryttnow.com. First question for Matt, what's the number one source you spend your time on?
I spend a lot of time on Bloomberg, but I also spend a time on a service called Fuller Tracy Money, which is a service that I like, that I read. It's a daily service combining technical analysis and also, you know, qualitative analysis. A really interesting blend. So that's a good service that I like.
What's your favorite book about trading or the markets?
Yeah, I can't go past the original Market Wizards by Jack Schwager. It came out, you know, gosh, I think late 80s, early 90s. It featured interviews with great traders, great managers, Bruce Kovner, Richard Dennis, Paul Tudor Jones, Michael Steinhardt, all these guys that were around earlier, and some of them still are around, of course. Fabulous interviews. Just learn a lot from reading that book. Schwager followed it up in 1992 with The New Market Wizards, which was his follow-up book and was essentially just as good. And he had in there Bill Eckhart, Munro Trout, Stan Druckenmiller. You know, there's so much to learn from those books.
What's your favorite movie or TV show about trading or the markets?
Well, you got to say the original Trading Places with Eddie Murphy. It's tough to go past that, but I also, my guilty pleasure recently has got to be the Showtime TV show Billions, which I think has been really good.
What's the best piece of advice you've received about trading or the markets?
Diversify, you know, diversify the markets. You know, you've got to diversify your investment portfolio. If you're in managed futures specifically, you want to diversify between traders. If you're a managed futures manager, you want to diversify across markets and time frames. I think that's the single best piece of advice I've ever received.
Now, if you can give a piece of advice to the new people interested in getting involved in trading, what would it be?
I would say read everything. Read Market Wizards. Read Mike Covell's trend following book. Read, you know, there's a few publications around about managed futures. Just read everything and just get yourself really well self-educated.
Last question for the day, Matt. If you weren't in the managed future space, you'd be doing what?
Geez, Anthony, that's a good one. Boy, I'd probably be, like my oldest son, a struggling actor.
Nice.
Struggling artist of some kind.
Oh, man, Matt, I really enjoyed this today. Great insight on the managed future space. I love doing these shows. I love speaking with people like yourself about the industry. So before I let you go, is there anything else you'd like to add?
Yeah, I think if people want to get more information on managed futures, they can go to a couple of different Altegris websites. There's altegris.com, and that features some educational pieces on the industry, as well as information about our individual investment products. As I said, we have mutual funds in the market, three different mutual funds. So go to altegris.com. We also host a website, managedfutures.com, where we have information on track records of managed accounts. And please reach out and give me a call directly or one of my team members a call. We're really happy to get involved in talking about this industry and educating folks.
Thank you so much for coming on Futures Radio Show today, Matt. I really enjoyed it, and I look forward to speaking with you again in the future.
Anthony, I greatly appreciate it. Thanks for the time.
Thank you for listening to Futures Radio Show. If you have any questions or comments for myself or my guests, please visit futuresradioshow.com and sign up to be a premium member for free. If you enjoyed the show, don't forget to leave us a review on iTunes.